Hello, and welcome to episode 26 of Engaging Internal Comms. This is the show for employee engagers and internal communicators who like to keep up to date with all that is new in our profession. My name's Craig Smith from the Big Picture People. Well, this is episode 26, so I make that the half-year point in the show. It's great to think we started out in June and we're now into December, and it's amazing that we've made it this far. It's been a very, very strange year for us, as I'm sure it has been for you as well. So if you've not caught up on the previous 25 episodes, you can catch those on our website, engagingic.com, and also on your podcast platform of choice. So next week I have an interview coming up with Victoria Bond from Space HR. Victoria is going to be telling us all about how you can measure organizational culture. Victoria's background is in mergers and acquisitions, but she's also got some experience I think that we'll find really interesting that relates to general human resources, organizational development, internal comms as well. So we're going to be looking at how do we measure the value of our organizational culture? How do we actually put some quantifiable data behind that? I've got a little announcement about the rest of season one. So you've probably, if you've listened to previous episodes, you've perhaps heard me talking about potentially when in season one will end and when season two will close. So we've got a decision on that now. We're going to go up to episode 30. So this is 26. We've got four more episodes in season one, and that will take us right up to the end of the year. So season one will end on the 29th of December, which is appropriate, I guess. That'll just be a short closeout episode with me just sort of doing a quick recap on what we've covered over the rest of the episodes in this season. The week before that, though, I've got a fantastic interview, which is kind of our Christmas interview on the 22nd, which is with Jen Sproul, who is the chief exec of the Institute of Internal Communications. So if any of you are IOIC members, you'll be wanting to make sure that you don't miss that episode. It's a great interview with Jen. I've already recorded that. And that will be the end of season one. And season two is going to start in 2021, but we're going to be moving to a fortnightly show pattern. So you're going to be getting our podcast every other week. That's partly because work for us is great. It's picking up. We are getting more and more busy, and I need to focus more of my time on my business or the Big Picture People. But the podcast I do want to keep running because I've really enjoyed setting it up and running it and interviewing people. So we are going to keep it running on a fortnightly basis. It may be that we have occasionally interspersed that with shorter episodes that aren't interviews between weeks. So it might be that the odd week you will find that there's an episode pops up, but it might be a much shorter show, maybe 10 minutes or so of me just giving my thoughts on a topic on my own, or maybe just giving some insights or sharing some news that I've picked up that week that I think might be of interest to you. Anyway, so I've kind of longer introduction than usual. You're probably wanting to get on with the interview. Just a quick couple of quick reminders. If you haven't already signed up to our mailing list, please do so at engagingic.com. And if you can leave us some feedback, that would be wonderful. And if you can subscribe to the show, that really helps us in terms of our overall visibility. Anyway, I'm not going to ramble on anymore. Let's get on to the interview itself. An area that's been really important to me throughout my career in learning and development and in internal communications has been the use of humor. And it's an area that sometimes is a little bit, not taboo, but it's a bit of an area that's sometimes seen as a bit frivolous and a bit silly and something that we shouldn't really be talking about as professionals. But actually, I think fun and humor in internal communications, in any sort of form of organizational development intervention, can used appropriately, can be very powerful ways of engaging our audiences. So I wanted to explore that area today with someone who I found who had a very similar outlook on life, and for someone who has actually used fun and humor in communication campaigns very successfully. So this is the topic that I wanted to explore today. I also wanted to point out, if any of you are interested in using fun as an approach within internal communications, that you head across to our website, which is thebigpicturepeople.co.uk, and have a look on our products page, where we've got a couple of products there which might be of interest. One is our interactive board games, which, as you would imagine from the description, are actually bespoke interactive board games that we use to help organizations to communicate fairly complex messages. And we've used that for a wide range of approaches, whether that's company values, vision, that sort of thing. And we also have a specific product, which is called the Safety Game, which is also listed on our products page. But also, if you type the Safety Game into Google, we usually come up pretty high up on the search rankings there, which is a specific product which is aimed at making health and safety fun or engaging anyway. And it's a kind of board game concept which can be delivered online and also face to face, which again helps employees understand their obligations and what we expect from them from a health and safety perspective. Okay, so that's enough of that. And so I want to move on to the interview now, which, as I said, is all about this area of using fun and humor in internal communications. So my interviewee today is Costanza Tobino. Costanza's work experience spans from marketing, internal communications, and employee engagement. Costanza's worked for the likes of Pearson, Gap, and more recently, she is the Global International Communications Manager at StatsPerform, which is a leading technology company in sports data. And we're going to find out all about StatsPerform in a minute. Costanza has led many communication projects, and she has been involved in change, integration, mergers, acquisitions, executive leadership, product launches, corporate social responsibility, learning and development, and community engagement. Costanza describes herself as a nostalgic Sicilian living in London with a keen interest in powerful communications, video, new technologies, and what we're going to be talking about today, humour. Hello, Costanza. How are you?
Hello, Craig. I am very good. Thank you. And thanks for inviting me to your fab podcast. It's great to be here talking to you.
It's an absolute pleasure, and it's a topic that I've wanted to talk about for ages, and it's one of those areas that you need to find somebody who's a kindred spirit to have a conversation about, I think. So, yes, I'm looking forward to this one. So you're in London. Whereabouts in London are you?
I do live in London. I currently live in Hoxton with my fiancé. Yes, he proposed this summer. Lockdown wedding proposals. I live with my two black cats and my mother, who actually lives in Italy, but she has a particular love for UK lockdowns. So here she is.
So she came all the way across to England to experience lockdown.
Just be with me during lockdown. She loves her daughter.
Fantastic. And what are your cats called?
Penelope and Joni. They're both girls, sisters, twins.
Lovely. Fantastic. We've got two cats, got a boy and a girl cat, but yes. Excellent. Anyway, let's back down to business. StatsPerform. Tell us all about StatsPerform. What does StatsPerform do? How big is it? What do you do there?
Sure. So StatsPerform, well, as a start, it's a really cool company to work for. It's sports and it's tech. We are the global sports data and technology market leader. And our mission is to provide better sports predictions and insights by using data and artificial intelligence. You know, it's very trendy AI nowadays. So yes, we bring the deepest breadth of data, sports research, sports news and video content, as well as I mentioned, AI-powered solutions to a variety of clients working in sports media, broadcasters, other tech companies, global brands, sports books, teams and leagues, and also fantasy providers. So I'm not sure if you're into football and if you're into fantasy football, but we make your experience much better.
Why my team is languishing so far down the league at the moment. I'm not using the data appropriately.
Maybe not. But that's what we do. We ensure we enhance sports competition and sports entertainment. Yes, it's a very dynamic company. You can imagine because of the nature of its industry. We have thousands of employees working from literally across the globe. So we have our headquarters in Chicago and London, But we have offices in numerous countries in Europe, Australia, India, Latin America. I mean, I can go on. We've got seriously a really global footprint.
Wow.
And as the internal communication manager, my job is to unite our people, is to ensure that all employees are up to date with everything that is going on within our company. If listeners are working internal comms and engagement, they will know that it's actually a difficult job to make sure that you produce engaging communications, campaigns, yeah. You manage your comms strategy, your comms channels and matrix strategically. And yes, my favorite part of the job is that I need to ensure good employee engagement with the business, with the culture, organizing internal events. You, of course, nowadays, they're all virtual, launching exciting initiatives like diversity inclusion. And our aim is to create a collaborative, connected and integrated workforce, which,
wow.
as we all know, can only affect productivity in a positive way.
Brilliant.
This is why we're here. This is what we do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, no, thank you. That sounds really interesting. And as you said, it's kind of, it's one of those things that we would probably use that information that, you know, particularly if any of us who like sports and don't realize that we're using that data. So that's really, really interesting. So anyway, look, we met on LinkedIn and we found out that we both had an interest in this strange thing, particularly in the times that we're in at the moment, which is actually called humor, fun, having a laugh, as it were. On a more serious point, and I found that levity in communications and in learning and development can always help you to open doors and break down barriers that may sometimes exist. So I just want to just kick off by just talking about, you know, we're not talking about David Brent style humor, sort of humiliating people and laughing at people. We're talking about where we're using humor and fun to. Yeah. So tell me about it, you know, from your perspective, because I know you're a big fan of bringing humor into your work. Yeah,
I am indeed. I love humor. I love having a bit of fun, bit of banter. In general, the definition of humor is the quality of being amusing or comic. And yes, that is actually taken from the dictionary. But right. in the context yeah. of communication, I think humor can be a very, very powerful tool that communicators mm-hmm. can use to create an emotional connection with the audience. So that's the main reason why humor is good to use. And some suggest that it consists of amusing communications that produce positive emotions and especially cognitions in the individual, group or organization. So I think it's a form of emotional intelligence. And if used appropriately, humor can contribute to employee well-being, human flourishing, and also the creation of meaningful connections and, in this context, better employee engagement. And I think that you've said humor breaks down barriers, and I want to highlight that, because what humor does is, well, first of all, it breaks the ice, and yes, it definitely breaks down barriers, and carefully disguised as fun, it can convey specific messaging in an effective way, as yes. people will be able to remember it easily, and they can associate that humor fun event with the main message that you want to convey. For yes. example, most of our employees now associate our intranet with James Bond, but I can tell you more about it later, maybe.
Yeah, no, and I've seen the video actually, because you sent me a link to that one. People will be going, what on earth are they talking about? But we'll talk about that, because that's a really good example.
So
I think what we're talking about then is this idea of using humor, and I guess, it's just a question in my mind, are humor and fun the same thing? Because you can be having fun but not necessarily laughing, but you know, it's fun is sometimes used, I think, as a you know, it's used in this as a substitute for it was engaging. It was, you know, somebody, you know, might go to a session, say, oh, that was good fun. I enjoyed that. And it's not that they've been laughing intensely and they're holding, you know, they're kind of cramping in their stomachs because it's been hilarious, but it's actually been engaging in a way that they've found it.
That is, you know, memorable.
The time has gone really quickly for this in something that they thought was going to take ages, and you know they've learned something new, and that can sometimes be defined as fun, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess it's important maybe just to flag up at this point. You know, we're not talking about crass humor here. I mean, I guess you know it's fairly obvious, but I guess there are times where you wouldn't necessarily use humor in a situation. I guess, you know, obviously there's been quite a lot of somber news over the last few months during the pandemic, and that would require some sensitivity. So, I mean, I guess toning it down I mean, what's your experience of that, particularly if you're someone who likes to bring fun and humor into things?
Well, of course, like everything, humor should be used with care. And yes, of course, there are times where humor is considered inappropriate. Humor that has religious, political, social issues or health issues content, for example, should be avoided at all costs. Yeah. We should leave that to stand-up comedians. And I've mentioned before that humor is a form of emotional intelligence, which can be broken down into self-awareness, self-regulation, empathy, and social skills. So as leaders and as communicators, we need to rely on all of these skills and fully exploit our emotional intelligence to identify situations and circumstances where humor would be perceived as, for example, disrespectful or insensitive. So yes, being a good communicator involves that level of understanding, and we should all be aware of our emotional intelligence, use it in everything we do, and just be more self-aware of other people's potential reactions to the use of humor. So my answer is it should be used with care.
Yeah, and I guess that brings in an element of you know, subjectivity, and what's funny to us, you know, or humorous to us may not. And I absolutely agree with you that anything that is in any way disrespectful, you know, should be avoided. And I don't think we're talking about that. I think what we're talking about here is something where we can, you know, enjoy something together rather than at someone else. You know, it's nothing that excludes anybody, I think, is really important part of it. Well, not just you, but any form of communication, I guess. And also, I guess, it's a sort of a concept I've spoken before about on the podcast, and it's one I always remember from my kind of learning and development days, is this concept of, you know, what sometimes learning and development people call self-hugging, which is, you know, I design courses that I would like to go on myself, is the danger that we design communications that we like to receive ourselves in a way that we'd like to receive ourselves, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's everyone else would. So I guess it's having that emotional intelligence to realize this might resonate with an audience. I guess it's the perennial challenge, isn't it, with communications? You can never communicate in the right way to everybody. It's always going to be an element.
Yeah, I mean, it's tricky. Like, you need to find the right balance, especially if you work for a global company where you've got different cultures, you've got different mental frame of minds. So,
yeah.
And you know that I was talking about my mom? Here she is. You might have heard before. Can I just tell her to be quiet? Hey, mom, I am in an interview, so if you want to be quiet, please. I love you. No, seriously, bye.
Brilliant. That's a first for this show, I think. The first time we've ever, and quite appropriate given the girl we're talking about there. Chastise their mother during an interview. So
it's what it means to be working from home. So I've given you a real life example.
And we don't do edits on this show, so you find that's definitely in the show. So, all right, okay. Well, let's just dive into this a little bit more deeper. Let's get a bit more scientific then. So why you've talked a little bit about it, about a kind of link with emotional intelligence. Why then, you know, what's the case for, if I'm going to go to my kind of my CEO and say, I want to do this campaign and it's going to have a bit of fun in it and we're going to have a bit of a laugh, you know, collectively. Why should I be thinking about doing that? Why should we be looking at using humor?
Well, I think humor in the workplace is a good thing all around because it makes people feel good and creates a positive working environment for all to contribute to and benefit from. And in the field of communications, the effects of humor has actually been studied. I did some research and they came up with the wheel model of humor. I don't know if you knew this, but it's actually really interesting. And this model argues that individual humor events between, for example, just two people are important for a few reasons. First, they create positive feelings in the other person. Second, these positive feelings can be shared with others, influencing a group or the two-person dynamic. So these researchers argue that stronger relationships are built through the social transmission of positive feelings within the social context of the humor. And this proves the point that using humor in internal communications can help initiate and perpetuate a cycle of individual and social level positive feelings. So in short, humor is contagious and easily transmittable across teams. So that reflects in a positive way on employee engagement. And also, the main point is that in general, humor and fun is shares positive feelings that affects the culture of your organization. Yeah. So that's why it would be a good approach for communications.
Yeah. I it's an old example now, but I always used to use the example of Southwest Airlines. I've never flown with Southwest Airlines, but I used to run a program where we did a kind of a case study, and I always felt a bit of a fraud doing a case study about a business that I'd never actually experienced myself. But there was a lot of anecdotal stuff out there, and I don't know whether you've ever seen it. It's quite an old video now. It's probably about 10 years ago, but there was the airline attendant who, I know this isn't kind of internal comms, but it's a kind of a good illustration, I think, of how humor and a bit of innovation can make something much more catchy. And he kind of rapped the airline, you know, the safety announcement. So he went on and he was a really good rapper as well, which helped. And it's a video on YouTube if you've never seen it before. So he raps, you know, the kind of the whole, you know, put your bags under your seat and, you know, whatever, and, you know, be careful when you open your locker if some things might move. He kind of did that. It's in a rap format, and it went viral, and somebody videoed him doing it, and then it made such a great reputation for the company, and it built so much, and it was typical Southwest apparently. But then he got asked to go to the AGM, the annual general meeting that year, and he wrapped the financial results for the business as well. He did in the same format. And he, you know, he became a hero within the company. And I know it's a different thing, but I think it's just a really
very similar
way of just showing that kind of viral catchiness that you can get when you do something with a bit of fun and humor, and, you know, not taking yourself too seriously, which I think is really important in these times as well. And so, I mean, you mentioned, you know, some of your own examples. And we can come back to this, you know, this idea of effectiveness as we talk about this. But you had a few examples, and you mentioned James Bond when we were passing there, and I've seen the video, and we'll put a link. I know some of this stuff is internal, but we'll put a link to anything that we can actually share publicly as well that you're happy, you know, to sort of share. So tell me a little bit about, I mean, not necessarily just that campaign, but other campaigns that you've been involved in, and just so we can maybe kind of get an idea of what we're talking about with this idea of fun and internal comms.
Right. Well, I want to talk about the James Bond one because it's my favorite example. We needed to roll out our company-wide intranet, which we called The Net. And, you know, working in sports and tech, it sounded like a good name. And the intranet URL is very easy. It's basically thenet.statsperform.com. And the reason why I'm telling you this, you find out. But yes, we wanted to launch it properly, as it would have been the first intranet that the company had. So it was a big deal. And what we did was that we used our town hall as the platform launch. And my colleague and I were introduced the net with a simple corporate PowerPoint, but just to lead to the surprise moment for employees, which was this video where my colleague and I acted as if we were in a James Bond mission. And the mission was to access this so-called the net, which would give us all sorts of intel. So I impersonated M. So I hope that I honor Judi Dench's role. And my colleague impersonated James Bond. And when I asked him to come to the office wearing a suit so that he could impersonate James Bond, he looked at me as if I was completely bonkers. Can I say bonkers?
Yeah, of course. Completely bonkers.
And maybe I am, but I believed in these. I really believed in this unconventional, non-standard approach. And the irony in the video was that we start interviewing Stats Perform employees. That's a good way also to get employees involved, you know, make them become your advocate. Asking how we can access the net, but no one was willing to tell us. And that we would never find out, as accessing the net would have been way too difficult for us. But actually, it was the easiest thing, as we simply needed to type the name of the interest of the net and the name of the company, the net to start to perform. So the video was very well received. There were laughs and lots of engagement. And the following day, we had 95% of our workforce accessing our new intranet. So mission accomplished, you know?
So very, very kind of sticky, very memorable, kind of did what you intended it to do, which was, you know, I guess sometimes, you know, I think we get hung up in the kind of form and function of a communication, when we actually ultimately what we want people to do is go find the site, and that's what we're trying to do. And you know, I have always been brought up with, you know, the meaning of any communication is the behavior it directs. So that, you know, if people follow the behavior we wanted to do, then that's the meaning that we've created. And I think, you know, that's a really great example of where, you know, would you have got 94% had you kind of done an email blast or something like that? Probably not.
I don't think so. I think because it was memorable, because, as I said before, it created these general positive feelings among the audience. It was something that stuck with them, and they even had the interest to go and access the internet, see what it was like. But I think it starts with a good launch.
And is that one of the, I know I've got some links that we're going to share. I don't know whether that is something that you've made publicly available, or is that just an internal thing that you've got there?
No, I mean, only employees can access the net. So even if you try and type it, you won't be able to. So it's fine. I can share it. I can share the video.
Yeah. Is that the one that was on YouTube? Yeah. Was that YouTube?
That one, no, I've shared I've attached it to our email, to your email.
Okay. Now, would you let us know if you know what we can and can't share? I don't want to, you know, I know you
show. It'll be fine.
I mean, I think it shows your company in a great light. There's nothing on there to
nothing compromising.
No, exactly. No, okay. So that's one example, and a kind of, you know, absolutely, I think the right fit between the message and the methodology and the kind of, you know, use of humor. What any other examples or any other things that come to mind? I've
got a few from my own. Well, we recently launched an event, an internal event, virtual event, obviously, that's called Shark Tank. And it's like the American program Shark Tank. The UK version is Dragon Hen, I think.
Dragon's Den.
And what we did was it was a competition. So we asked employees to submit their product ideas. In our case, sports announcement, sports fan ideas. And we've included a really good prize. Good prize. $1,500 for the winner, and the chance to make that product idea part of part of our product portfolio. So I think that's really, really cool idea, because you get innovation going, you get employees involved, you get them working in teams, brainstorming. Submissions could have been individual submissions or team submissions. And the funny element in that was that when we actually went live with the event, the judge panel were composed by our executives.
Yeah.
And I mean, I love my CEO. My CEO actually was wearing a shark hat, which makes the executive more accessible, you know? But that was not the fun element. I think the fun element was when we've included a fake pitch. So what I mean by that is that if you watch Shark Tank, the American version, you see judges shouting up really terrible ideas, shouting up people, telling them, go away, get out of here.
Yeah.
And we wanted to kind of bring that fun element into the event, but obviously we can't really do that with real submissions. That's very counterproductive. So I volunteered and to write a fake product idea pitch, which was called AutoCats. So we actually have a product called AutoStats that tracks movement, tracks performance. And so I came up with these, well, me and my team, we came up with this fake one called AutoCats that would track your cat's movements. So it's obviously a terrible idea. That was the humor in it. Yeah. And I was shouted at.
Shouted down.
But I think that creates more engagement. That gets people more interested in the event. And it's not, you know, you break it down. You add some just engagement rather than going through all the product ideas, which is still engaging, I think. It's still a really cool idea. But in terms of being online, because it was a 2 hours event, so imagine being in front of your laptop for 2 hours, you need to make it engaging somehow. And that was our idea.
That's a really nice idea. I mean, it reminds me, it reminds me of lots of things, actually. And what I'm kind of hearing here is there's this, it is humor, it is fun, but it's, as I said earlier, it's this kind of engaging, it's kind of drawing me in, and it's innovative, and it's getting me to think and look at things in different ways, which is part of that process, I think. And so, I remember when going back years ago, we used to make little videos, and this is the days before smartphones. This is where you had to, had to get a camcorder and kind of record it and then like edit it on, a kind of weird sort of digital desk, but it wasn't digital. So we used to make videos for like just for our facility, because we had a kind of plant team who were, got it, and we had a kind of sense of humor, and we just make little videos just to share, like, a message, and then they'd show it in team briefs, and it would be the plant management team, you generally making idiots themselves doing something really sort of silly, but in a self-deprecating way, and it was quite really good. And again, it was often messages like that idea. If you were to kind of, your Shark Tank thing, if you were to do a, an idea generation scheme, it would tend to be, you could do that in a really boring way, which is, you fill the form in, you enter it in, and the management team have a look at it, and if they think it's great, they give you a certificate and, shake your hand sort of thing. Whereas you've done it in a way you have to kind of pitch that idea. It's kind of, you've found a TV metaphor that people can relate to. There's a bit of adrenaline involved, and people have a laugh. It's your leaders connecting with people. There's so many good things about it. So I think it's multifaceted in that way, isn't it?
We definitely had fun, and the team who won was over the moon. You can imagine.
Brilliant. Yeah, I can imagine. So what I'm hearing here is, what it's coming across to me is that there has to be, I think there's going to be some sort of cultural fit here. And I think, I was going to ask you the question, how would you approach, a fun campaign in an organization that was quite you know, maybe very serious and you know, really kind of didn't get humor. But I guess that the answer to that question is you probably wouldn't end up, you probably wouldn't choose to work there, or, you know, they probably wouldn't hire you in the first place. So I think there is, you know, and that, I mean that in a kind of cultural fit way rather than in a kind of, you know, I think it's, I think it's probably, I mean, do you agree? Do you think any organization can embrace humor or fun, even if their kind of culture is, you know, we are, you know, I'm using the metaphor kind of, you know, we're kind of gray, sort of, you know, we don't really have, you know, we just do the stuff and we don't kind of mess about with all this fancy stuff. You know, is there a place, how would you, if someone's listening to this and they kind of got to feel they've got a sense of humor, but they're an organization that hasn't. Is that sort of something they should try, or you know, what would you recommend in those sorts of situations?
Well, as you said, it definitely depends on culture, organizational culture. It's risky. It's a risk you're taking, and not everyone would support it, especially those who are risk averse and like to comply with conventions and traditional approaches. In my case, a challenge that I've encountered was probably our recent merger. We merged last year to become what we are, Stats Perform, and the company expanded and new cultures within cultures emerged. So although it was a great opportunity for internal comms to influence and shape the culture, it was also nerve-wracking, the thought of shifting from a conventional corporate culture. So we needed to get buy-ins from senior leaders and get them to believe in our, I like to define it, outside-the-box approach, which, I mean, historically has been considered as non-professional, like definitely not your standard approach. So my mission was to clearly explain why a less corporate approach, especially in communications, would really be beneficial for our culture and our employees. And I mean, we did that. After the James Bond video, we got the executives buy-in, and now we have the freedom to make campaigns as fun and as engaging as we can. So I think it's showing the value of a fun campaign. Why would that be beneficial to the employees? How can you align that to your company's culture and to your core values? There needs to be a greater alignment, but I think that in 2020, using humor is not considered as non-professional, because people understand, employers understand why having a corporate approach is not always effective. This is what I think. I think that the main thing that you need to do if you want to make your campaigns more fun is show the true value to your manager, to your senior managers, to the executive team.
And maybe it's a case of, you know, not necessarily, you know, bounding through the door and saying, I've got this idea, I want to do like fun. It's about, you know, I've got an idea for a campaign, and you would pitch it in a way that you know, kind of displays that it's going to be engaging, it's going to be, you know, you wouldn't necessarily, you know, if you thought it wasn't going to land as a sort of a pitch, from a pitch perspective, I guess, you know, I think that's probably, and as you say, I think in, you know, more than ever in 2020, hopefully, you know, for all the reasons not to be cheerful over the last few months, I think that what it has impressed upon us is that, you know, life is relatively short, and at work, we should enjoy our time at work. It's not a case of, you know, it's nothing worse. I think it's one of my missions in life is to, you know, build a world where everybody, no matter what they do, actually loves coming to work and doesn't see it as like something they have to do to pay the bills. You know, it's maybe a lofty goal, but
And I mean, humor and laughter are, speaking of resilience, you know, 2020 has been a very tough year for everyone, but humor and fun and laughter are considered as coping skills.
Of course, they are.
And one of the most important tasks of a manager or a leader is to implement these skills throughout all levels of a company to preserve the individual health of the employees and the entire company. So in general, and that's something I've said before, but I'd like to reiterate it, is that humor can promote good feelings on the job and enhance communications and reinforce employee engagement, which nowadays we need more than ever because everyone's working remotely and we need that element to make employee engagement really successful.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, just to wrapping things up, if we've got people listening to the show who are, you know, maybe thinking, okay, I like what I've heard, or, you know, I kind of get it and it's something I've been wanting to do for a while. What are some, you know, I guess they're not going to go out and commission a kind of James Bond style thing like you did immediately, but what would be what's a natural way to introduce some more humor and fun naturally into their comms, again, aligned with their, whatever their culture, what would you recommend there? And again, it's probably got to be, you know, kind of personal as well, but what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the first step is, as I've mentioned before, to use your emotional intelligence. Be self-aware of your emotional intelligence to identify opportunities where your campaigns might benefit from the use of humor. Then I think you should start, you should brainstorm on ideas, what could be funny, what could also get employees involved. That's a fundamental part in your campaigns. I'm a keen advocate of employees involvement in campaigns. Then before you launch a James Bond video to the wider company, I think you need to gather feedback from some of your colleagues, maybe try and see if your idea is broadly understood and whether it actually is funny or fun. So yeah, get your some of the colleagues that you trust the most and ask them whether they think that could work. It's an idea that could work. And at last, I think the most important tip is be bold. Be brave. Get out of your comfort zone. Because only by having the courage to try new things and new approaches, you can truly be innovative. So don't be scared to try new things. And should you fail, you'll try again and again until you'll get the winning formula for your campaigns and events. And again, always aligned to your organizational culture. But yes, get out there and try new things.
It's exactly what I was thinking. I was thinking, you know, this is, and thinking back from my experiences, it is something that, you know, you do need to be brave. It's not the most, you know, even if you're quite, you know, okay doing this sort of stuff, it does take a leap of faith sometimes. And I've never seen anybody fundamentally come unstuck, you know, using appropriate levels of fun and engagement and humor in a communication program or a training program or whatever that's kind of well thought out, isn't crass, you know, it can get you a lot more buy-in and engagement, which is fundamentally what we're all after at the end of the day, isn't it? Whatever it is, whether we're leading a team or whether we're kind of getting them to try and do something differently, or whether we want them to go and look at the new intranet site, we're just trying to get people to sort of influence people's behaviors in a way that feels natural and you know, authentic, I guess. So
exactly, it's about authenticity. But yeah, stay away from religions and politics.
Yeah. Definitely. I think definitely avoid that. Look, that's been really, really interesting. And as I said, an area that I've wanted to talk about for a while and not really known how to come at it, because I guess it's one of those areas. I think it's an area that sometimes you do wonder how many other people out there see it as a, you know, not as a, you know, as a legitimate area, but as an area that they're kind of focused on and is a sort of style that they use, you know, not just on and off, but as a sort of a fundamental part of their way of working. So I really like that, and I really like your work as well. So I'm going to put some links in there into the show notes. look, we already know about your two cats, your mum, the fact that your fiance proposed to you this summer. We know you're Sicilian. We know that you've got a sense of humour. I always ask my interviewees about something that other people don't know about them, and normally I don't know very much about them either myself. But I'm kind of wondering what we've got left. But I'm sure there's something. So I'm sure there's many things. So what are you going to share with our listeners that is something that not even people who know you, even your cats may not even know about you? What is your sort of secret story?
Well, my cats know about this one, but okay. I have a band and I write lyrics and sing, and we're working on our first album, and that was it's a very recent band that was born during lockdown. The first lockdown. Right. I was approached by a friend. So the way it started was that I've launched my YouTube channel, which I haven't promoted, but I should start doing it. And I need to produce more content. But in some of the videos, I play the guitar and I sing about lockdown life and stuff like that. Featuring also my mom, by the way, because as I said, brilliant. She likes to be here during lockdowns. And my friend saw one of the videos and he messaged me to say, why don't you, like, we're putting together a band, why don't you join us and be the singer? Mm. I have a degree in media management with a focus on music management, actually. Mm. So I always wanted to, I can play the piano, I can play a bit of guitar. So I always wanted to get into the music industry, but I started to play when I was really old. Well, old, not that I'm old. Well, I hope I'm not old. But it's something that really it's always been an interest of mine. So I was really happy to get that proposal, and I've joined. So I'm writing lyrics, and we're writing our first album, and hopefully it's going to be ready by my wedding, because I want to do a live show. But my fiancé doesn't know, so I hope that my fiancé doesn't listen to this podcast.
All right. Okay. You have to be very careful about that. I won't tell him if no one else does. So what's the name of the band then? Come on. Has he got a band name yet?
I mean, yes, but I'm not very fond. It's called B. Between ears, so
B E,
so like B, right. But yeah. Which stand? It's an acronym for between ears.
We can get
listeners to come up with other names, make some suggestions. It's kind of music.
I'm sure the Beatles sounded like a really crap name when they originally thought of it, and, So, but not that I'm saying that it's not a great name. So, but no, it's working. But well, no, I think it sounds like that might be something that may change in the future. But no, if you want to put a link to your, because I have seen your singing and performing videos, so they're very, very watchable. So I'll definitely recommend. I'll put those in the show notes as well. And Well, that is a first. I don't think we've had anyone declare that. I've had a few people declare themselves as sort of secret musicians in playing instruments, but not anyone who is kind of in a proto band that is just about to launch its first its first recording. So fantastic.
Well, we hope that we have that.
Well, look, that's been absolutely fantastic, Costanza. I've really enjoyed the conversation. I've really enjoyed having the first interview with someone's mum involved as well. It was highly appropriate given what we were talking about. How can people find out more about you and engage with you and, find out more about your work other than watching your YouTube video? And I'll put the link into that. What's the best way to reach out to you?
I think the best way is just LinkedIn. Just message me if you want to find out more on using humor in internal comms or other tips on employee engagement. So LinkedIn and YouTube. I mean, if you want to see wedding pictures, you can even join Instagram, my Instagram.
I've got your Instagram link, actually. I was going to stick that on there as well.
That's fine. But you're going to see funny videos cat pictures and probably next year wedding pictures. So.
Oh, that would be nice. So where are you getting married?
Married in Sicily, from.
Yeah. Well, I don't blame you. I've never been, as we've chatted about before. If you're looking for anybody to come along and take some photos, you know, there's always an amateur photographer here who'll come across and take some pictures for you. There's a chance to go to Sicily. So I'm only joking.
I'll consider it.
Well, yeah, the offer's there. Right. Well, look, Costanza, that's been absolutely brilliant. I've really enjoyed that conversation. Thank you very much for sharing your insights there. And I guess appropriate way to finish off is to say, keep smiling.
And you, Greg. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ideally, everyone in your organization would be on the same page. They'd be facing in the same direction and towards its vision and goals. However, in today's fast-moving world, as we all know, it can be really hard to get employees to see the big picture. For example, what are we aiming for? How are we going to get there? And how does my role contribute? When your employees don't see the big picture, they can make the wrong decisions, they may feel less of a sense of belonging, and they may not fully contribute towards your organization's objectives. So how do you consistently put large numbers of people in the picture in a way that helps them understand what your organization is trying to achieve, but also do that in an engaging and effective way? At the Big Picture People, we combine visualization, discussion, and interaction to fully engage your employees in the organization's big picture. We create lightbulb moments for your employees, and we bring your values, your strategies, your objectives, and your change processes to life in a really rich, clear, and visual way. We also show your employees the complexity of the world that you're operating in and how their role contributes towards organizational priorities. So if you see the value of putting your people in the picture, head across to thebigpicturepeople.co.uk and book a free 30-minute consultation call via the link on our homepage. So thank you for listening to Engaging Internal Comms. We hope you've enjoyed this episode. We'd love to hear your thoughts about the show and any questions, ideas, or feedback that you'd have. Anything you'd like us to cover on future episodes too, please. So you can email us at info@thebigpicturepeople.co.uk, or you can get in touch with us via the contact form at engagingic.com. You can also sign up to our mailing list there, and we'll send you relevant news about the show and anything that we think you might be interested in when it comes to internal communications and employee engagement. If you like the show and you haven't already done so, please subscribe to it directly via your podcast service. And you can also subscribe via the links on our podcast page, which again is engagingic.com. If you like the show, we'd be really grateful if you could leave us a review, and also if you could leave some verbal feedback there as well, not just stars. That's always nice to know that we've been appreciated, and particularly how we've helped you. If you know anyone else who might like the show or might benefit from it, please tell them, please share it with them, please share the link to our website, engagingic.com. And that would be great, because we want to grow our community. We want to get as many people involved in the show as possible. And the bigger, the better. Okay, thank you.